The safe haven law on Connecticut's books popped up in the news recently. We saw CT News Junkie reported that 57 newborn babies have been given up safely to local hospitals in Connecticut, including two this year, thanks to Safe Haven. This is a great opportunity for us to talk about the history of this law, how it works, and the impact it has on our babies. Joining us now is State Senator Lisa Seminara, who is also the ranking member of the Committee on Children. Good morning, Senator Seminara, and welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, Melissa. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So my understanding is Safe Haven has been around since, what, 2000?
It's been around quite a while. We definitely reinforced it back in 2023. We had a press conference on it discussing the benefits of it and really the aspects of how we are able to save infants' lives. So it's a great act, and people should be aware of it and aware that we have it and use it. So.
If you could explain to people, Senator Seminara, just if for anyone who's not familiar with Safe Haven, I do remember it being sort of reintroduced, you know, just so that it was, you know, on the surface for people. But for those who are not familiar, what is it?
So it's an act, a program that allows a parent to voluntarily give up custody of an infant 30 days or younger to the emergency room. And the parent comes in, they're not subject to arrest for abandonment, and the act does not protect the parent, though, from being arrested and criminally prosecuted if there's any abuse or neglect.
So what you mean is if a baby shows up with bruises or something wrong with the child, the parent is not going to get off scot-free for you know, surrendering the child.
That's correct.
Got
That's
it.
Correct.
But if there's a parent who has a baby and for whatever reason, no judgment here, but for whatever reason, you know, surrenders a child who is in perfect health, but they basically can hand the baby off to a hospital worker, no questions asked. They don't have to sign anything or they don't have to do anything. They can hand the baby off and then it's like it never happened. It was never theirs.
Well, it's not that cut and dry, but it is you. What you can do is bring your baby to the emergency room. You'll meet with a nurse in a private area. They will ask you to provide information about the medical history of the child. You can do that. You don't have to provide your name or your address, and you don't have to answer any questions. So you can simply just hand over a child. They do ask some questions, and if you're willing to provide information, you can. But if you're not willing to, that's okay too.
But the least you could do is at least give the medical documentation of when the baby was born, just so that the child, when they do grow up, has record of that. And whoever, you know, adopts them or whatever the case may be, they at least have those records. So that is required. But everything else is sort of, if you want to provide it or not, that's pretty unbelievable. And so we have 57 newborn babies, according to this report that came out earlier this month, that have already benefited from this program. That's pretty extraordinary. What do you think about that?
I do. I agree. It is extraordinary. And, you know, giving up a child, I think, is whether you do it from the onset and you're prepared or you do it out of desperation. It's traumatic. It's very intense, no matter how you look at it. But it certainly beats the alternative, which in some cases, as we saw last week, a death of a child that was found in a bathtub. And that was really traumatic for everyone to hear. And, you know, my heart goes out to that family of the child. And we certainly want to prevent any deaths of any infants, no matter how we can do it. And sometimes people become overwhelmed, you know, whether that be financially or mentally, and they're not in a good space to take care of a child. And this is an opportunity for a child to have a better life if you can't provide one yourself.
And again, we have Senator Lisa Seminara here, who is the ranking member of the Committee on Children. And I also want to reiterate that unless you are in the shoes of that parent who's making that decision, it is really not for us to judge that situation. I do know off the record, and I'm not going to name this person, but one person who has admitted to me in the time that we've had the Safe Haven law, this was somebody who was in a domestic violence situation and did not feel that she wanted to have an abortion, but did not want this child to end up being connected with the person she was in this relationship with. And so, I mean, already dealing with just such a horrific situation that she's in, it was out of protection for the child. She felt that was the best thing to do. So again, you know, everybody has, you know, a story that when you have a law like this, the Safe Haven law in place, again, it's to protect as many children as we possibly can. It doesn't answer all problems, and maybe not everyone agrees with it, but it's a law on the books. I am curious, Senator, do we know if other states have a Safe Haven law?
You know what? I'll look into that. I'm not exactly sure if some other states, neighboring states, have that law, but I was very grateful that we have it in place, and I really do think to stress that it's a judgment-free opportunity and one that should be taken advantage of. Again, serious, serious situation, and if you're making that decision, I'm sure the parent is not making that decision lightly.
Right.
And it's nice to have it available. And to know that you're giving up your child for a better life because you feel you can't provide it. And it's an alternative, as I said, to any tragedies. So we should make sure everybody's aware of it and take advantage of it. And again, you know, really avoid any judgment of someone who is making that very, very tough decision.
We're chatting right now with State Senator Lisa Seminara, who also is the ranking member of the Committee on Children. And Senator, while I had you for a few more minutes, I did want to talk a little bit about the adoption and foster process here in Connecticut. You know, as I'm thinking about Safe Haven, again, when you look at the recent report out of Connecticut News Junkie, it's saying 57 newborn babies have been given up safely to local hospitals in Connecticut, including two just this year because of Safe Haven, which was started in 2000. So in 24 years, we've now saved close to 60 babies, which is a beautiful thing. I was curious, though, you know, are we overrun with children who have been surrendered or are, you know, in the adoption process or are being fostered right now? You know, how's Connecticut doing? Do we have an idea on that?
So, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, almost 60 children over the course of the years that Safe Haven has been in place, you would say no, but I think, you know, what you need to recognize is that there are issues that occur within families in DCF all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, children are unfortunately taken away from family members that cannot take care of them properly. So, you know, DCF ends up with a lot of children in custody, in their custody, and that they're, that they have to help try to find foster homes. Often, families are being taken, other family members sometimes take the child, and that's certainly the first choice and the first direction in which the Department of Children and Families goes is to try to find an alternative family member to take care of a child. But if not, you know, they're put into foster situations, and some of those work out very, very well, and some of those don't work out as well, depending on the child and what's going on with the child. So it is a tough, you know, Department of Children and Families is a very, very difficult department, and
yeah,
there's a lot that goes on there, and there's a lot to unpack there. So,
yeah.
What about
Senator, the process of adopting or fostering? Do you feel like it is it's easy and not easy enough. I don't want to say that because obviously, again, at the end of the day, you want kids to be safe. But do you feel like it is comprehensible enough? Do you feel like it's accessible enough for families, affordable enough for families in Connecticut to want to take on a foster or to take on an adoption here in Connecticut?
Yes, there's certainly avenues if you want to become a foster family. There's certainly we certainly make it accessible for people to do that if they really want to do that. There's funding available, and there is a process. Obviously, you have to be vetted and made sure that you know you're an appropriate family to take children in. But again, this is what I would stress. The mental health issues that are going on with children right now, and there are a lot. Obviously, people are aware that there is a rise of mental health issues with kids in our state. It makes fostering more difficult, and you know, the placements aren't as easy as we would like them to be, or sometimes it's not a good match, and then you're forced to try to find their family for a child to go stay with. And I feel like sometimes we have more children that are in need than families. So it is an issue that we have to continually address.
What would be your recommendation, Senator? I mean, is all this information available on the government website if people want to start that process? I mean, do you have any recommendations for them to do that and get connected?
Yeah, I mean, if you ever want to call, you can call 211. That's the info line, and you can always get. But you can call the Department of Children and Families, and I believe their number is 1-800-842-2288. And you can reach out, and if you want to become a foster family, they will happily usher you through the process to become one.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Senator Lisa Seminara, for coming on to talk about the Safe Haven Law and to also just check in on our youth here in Connecticut and hopefully giving them the homes that they certainly deserve. I appreciate the work that you do, especially as the ranking member of the Committee on Children here in Connecticut. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Melissa. Happy to come on anytime, and very grateful for you for having me and discussing this very important topic.
Absolutely. Of course. You're always welcome back. Senator Lisa Seminara here on WICC. And I will also include with the podcast for Senator Seminara a link if you want more information, especially for adoptions, fostering, all of that. I will also include that with her podcast, which you can find on our website, WICC600.com.